Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, Kangaroo Chasers. This is Mike Mehor-Wood. I'm sat for the first time ever in the history of this podcast next to Marco Carboni.
It is awesome to be next to you, mate. And normally you go in the language of the nation that we're discussing, so you should be saying, g'day, Kangaroo Chasers. Let's try that again.
G'day, Kangaroo Chasers.
Love it.
G'day, Kangaroo Chasers. I'm a permanent resident of Australia now.
Hey, congratulations, mate. Good to have you.
And we thought, even though we live in Australia, we write about the NRL. We watch a lot of NRL. We need to get some experts on, so we are here with the boys from Fifth and Last Podcast. That is Brock.
How are we?
Pretty good. And Lewis?
How you doing, mate? What's going on?
Lads, thanks so much for helping us out. Love listening to your podcast. I think I'm one of your OG listeners from like 10 years ago. Don't know how long you've been doing.
We've got a few.
Yeah, there's some diehards out there.
Must have bleeding ears.
Yeah, and Brock, I think you did my last Rugby League World Cup podcast in 2017. So.
Yeah. I reckon we've done maybe two or three together, I think, at the time.
Yeah, I think we used to do some Origin ones back in the day for the European rugby.
I reckon the first time we did one, you were still living in the UK.
No, I think I was just about in Germany, just about.
Oh, no, you were. You're in Germany, sorry.
Yeah, so fucking a lot of water under the bridge since then, put it that way. Couple of kilos on the body, couple of years in the bank. But brilliant, yeah, so we're all very hyped after the NRL Grand Final yesterday and all looking forward to the World Cup now. So we, on the day of this record, we always like to tell people when we do it so that we can date that we're right at the time. In the world of rugby league squads, that often goes wrong. But we have seen the Kangaroo squad has been announced today, so we thought we will go through it. People can go and look it up. We'll put it in the Rose beautiful preview, which I've written. But yeah, we thought we'd just go through the squad and then we can move on to some of the other thoughts about the World Cup afterwards. But you are our Kangaroos experts. So we thought we'd pick a team, 1 to 17, from the 24 that's been announced, and just sort of go through position by position, talk about the players, talk about who we might have picked. So, no time like the present.
Let's do it.
Have you got a fullback?
Good. Obvious that one, I think, for everyone. Sure, it's Tedesco.
Yeah, everybody's going for Jens Tedesco. Michael Carboni, everyone's favourite Italian-Australian, is very good. He's not playing for Italy, but...
very gutted, but good to see my cousin. We like to say at fullback, no questions asked, the captain, first man picked. And it's an obvious one.
But did you think there was a bit of a controversy, certainly in the press conference with Malmeninga today, about Dylan Edwards not getting picked after he's just won man of the match in the grand final? Would you have brought him?
And Mal had said that he needed a good performance to get picked.
Yeah.
And he wins player of the match, and he doesn't. Yeah, careful what you're saying now.
That is something we'll move on to in a second. Malmeninga's interesting comments. But would you have picked him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think there's something to be said for... I think Mal said that he only plays one position, though he has played right wing. And I thought, I don't remember that. And it turns out he's played right wing three times, once a year in three different years. So I thought either Mal knows a lot more about this than I do, or he's kind of making stuff up as he's going along. And I'd like to think it was the former, but it might be the latter.
In the juniors, they used him as a six, as a winger, a utility off the bench. Like, he could do a job on the wing if you needed him to. If you're going to talk about picking 24 and wanting some versatility, it's, you know, there's a couple of guys there we've obviously got that can cover centre, halves and fullback. So realistically, if you're picking Campbell Graham, who can only play centre or wing, I probably would rather take Dylan Edwards. There's plenty of cover for centre. We don't need another winger.
Well, yeah, I've got a theory on that, but we'll park that for now because we'll come back to it in a bit. But on your wings, who have you got?
Oh, well, with what's been picked now, I'd say he'll have Adokar and Tuolagi.
So we differ on this.
So we've got Fox on one wing. On the other wing, we've actually got Val Holmes. We know he's a specialist centre at the moment, but he's had a good season.
I think Matt was a big man for incumbency. I think he scored 5 tries against Samoa in the last World Cup. But what it's hard to remember because he's been so good at centre this year that I think this was the first year he's properly played as a centre.
Yeah, it is. So yeah, I think your best mix is with him on the wing with Adokar, definitely.
Yeah, my thought again is, well, if that's the case, Tuilagi, Campbell Graham, like I just think you've got guys there that cover centre. I just wouldn't take guys that are more so wingers.
You're trying to justify male selections.
I'm not trying to justify his selection. I'm trying to justify why I wouldn't have picked him.
So
it killed me.
I thought you were going to say you'd go Val Holmes one inside because what we've gone for in our centres, we've got Burton and Mitchell because we think he'll keep the...
That's what I got.
No, I went with Latrell and Holmes.
So you've got another Holmes-Tuilagi combination on the side?
Yeah, I'm sticking with the Cowboys combo one side of the field and Latrell and Fox on the other.
So we didn't even discuss that when we thought about the Doggies connection.
Yeah, we immediately went to the Bulldogs connection, but not the Cowboys. So that's why your coaches and we're not.
But I'm glad Brock's picking with us, mate. That's a good sign. He's got all the same as us so far. So, Louis, come on, mate.
Same. This world would be a boring place.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Latrell Mitchell, he'll have to come back from a big defeat today. Did you see that they lost the Curry knockout final? Mm. That's one of the best.
Buy everything, can it?
Yeah, Ben Barber losing. This couldn't happen to a nicer bloke. So I think we're all going to have the same number 6, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Monster.
Is it the money man? Yeah.
And so more words of wisdom from Almeninga, but who have you got for your 7?
Oh, seriously. Again, it's annoying me, but it's Cleary. It has to be Cleary.
I don't know what Nathan Cleary needs to do to get picked for Australia in a 7, but DC... So he actually said in the press conference today that DC has played a bit of 6, and I thought the only thing that's more controversial than not picking Nathan Cleary would be not picking Cameron Munster. So
yeah. We've got 13 debutants going. Incumbency means nothing because it's been that long. For any talk that I heard about that leading into it, I just thought smash head on a table because that's just pure stupidity. Well, but, you know, he's the best halfback.
Was Cleary even playing last time Australia played? That's a bit of a joke, but like he would have been very early on in his first grade career.
Maybe second season.
Yeah.
I reckon he would have played Origin.
In 2019, yeah.
2019, I think he would have been playing with Maloney, yeah.
Yeah, actually, you're right. It just 2017, seems like so long ago. Anyway.
It does feel like a long time.
You hear someone say incumbency and you're just like incumbent for what, so long.
And also, they lost last time. So, if you lose to Tonga, you should be put in the.
So, boys, we've all got Cleary easily, but is that where it's going to start? Like, Mal's probably more likely to pick DCE. Do we all agree on that one?
No, I'd be shocked if he picked DCE.
Yeah,
that's me personally.
I think that would
be. Nobody wants, but I'd genuinely be shocked.
Yeah.
Particularly also, you know, the World Cup's in what, 3 weeks? Australia's first game in 3 weeks. DC hasn't played a game in 4. So that'll mean he hasn't played. Well, he played the.
Yeah, that's.
Do you call that a game? It was an absolute beat up. I'd just be going with a hot hand in Cleary.
So that's just me. He said today that he was undecided. And I thought, I hope you're not decided by now. How much evidence do you need? But. He also said that he might rotate them in the tournament with the idea that they would get to the semi-final and then no. And I thought, like, what are you going to learn by playing from Scotland and Italy and, you know, God love my beloved Irish, but if we get through, that's probably who they're going to play in the quarterfinal. Like, what are you going to learn more about Nathan Cleary that you haven't already learned in Origin and the grand final?
Yeah, it's same deal. When you talk about squad makeup or what direction you're going, again, I know they've got natural cover, but you've got Hunt there and you've got a couple other options. But if you're taking Cherry Evans for me, I wouldn't be using him. Wouldn't be starting.
I wouldn't even have him in the squad.
Yeah, that was my sort of opinion. Like, you've got that much natural cover, again, having White and Burton, Ben Hunt, that are similar. Looking at your 24, I would have been thinking...
I would have picked Nico Hines.
Yeah, that's another one that can play fullback, centre, half, like it just gives you more versatility.
That's an interesting thing you say there, Brock, that you'd have picked Nico Hines rather than, because I think Hines, I know you've mentioned on your podcast quite a lot of times that they sort of play with 3 fullbacks at Cronulla, and he does, he's a man who plays as a 7, but in their setup, I don't really think he's not a 7 like DC is, put it that way. Do you think you just bring him, do you think, well, Cleary's going to play every game barring injury. If he gets injured, you've got Ben Hunt, who's going to go straight in there anyway, so just pick somebody else.
Yeah.
Well, that's your natural worry there, I guess, is your hooker option. So he's basically only taken two nines. You know, if he didn't pick up, he would have thought maybe if he was going somewhere else. He does have natural third option in Connor, who's converted into front row this year and been outstanding, but all his junior football was at nine. But, yeah, I think you're not banking on Cleary getting hurt. So Cherry Evans for me would purely be exactly that if he gets injured.
And he's so he did mention he went on a lot about Cotter. And is it, again with the home like on Ballard Homes? It's quite interesting to think that Cotter basically didn't play 13 until very recently. That he was a nine, but it just seems strange to me as well because Cleary's obviously he's a lot better than DC. And I'm like, as we have discussed, I'm a Manly supporter, so I'm the number one DC fan. But yeah, be real. The other one that we found it a little bit strange that he's gone for. Well, we want to hear who your props are because we struggled with the order that they're going to go in more than the personnel. But hit us up with two front rowers.
I know one of who he's going to pick, but I wouldn't have picked him in my squad. And it's going to hurt you again as a Manly fan. But I'd go with Campbell Gillard and Tino.
So we got Tino and Gerbo. That's our... I think that's more based on who. I'm not sure it's who I would pick. I think it's more that, yeah, I think he will pick Gerbo because if he's going to.
Yeah.
He's not the sort of guy you're carrying a squad.
No.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Regan Campbell, Gillard, and Gerbo flipping as well, though. So Gerbo off the bench and Gillard starting. But, you know, it's probably much of a muchness, I think.
Mm. You could start Jake and Regan and Tino, and then if you've got to bring Tino off, you could flip Jake to 13 and bring a prop on. Like they got that versatility with Jake there. So can Tino. Tino can flip 8, 13.
See, the thing about 13, though, is Yo's your man, I think. I don't know if anyone else can step into that spot. I mean, we've just given away our 13. I don't know if you guys have chosen the same.
That'd also, like, I would then argue you have to play Cleary if you're going to play Yo. Like, my mix would be a little bit different if you're not playing Cleary, like my mindset around who you pick.
Do you think
Yo is very reliant on Cleary and vice versa?
So this was part of my Dylan Edwards sort of discussion because he fits so well into that Panthers system, but would he fit well into anybody else's system? Like, he's such a defined role. And I wonder if Isaiah Yo is a bit like that as well. With if you play Cleary, then it's obvious. If you're going to play with a ball-playing lock, which I don't see why you wouldn't, and you've got Yo and you've got Murray as a backup, and even if you needed them, you've got Gerbo, who I think is more of a ball-moving lot than a ball-playing lot, but he makes a million tackles again, so he'll probably get played. And I wonder then, what do you do? You have the option that, like New South Wales did, where you can kind of keep Gerbo on for longer minutes and then you just rotate your big fellas around that, which makes me think that they might pick a... I realise on our list now that we've picked Tino twice.
That's how good he is.
That's how much we love him. Yeah. He's on our bench and he starts.
Yeah, let's swap Tino out on the bench.
You can go big to start with and then put Yo on after 20. There's ways you could do it. You can start Jake at 13 and then after 20 throw Yo on and bring one of your props off and move Jake up the front row. That can help you with your interchanges as well. Yeah, they've got a lot of options there with their versatility at 13 and 8.
Yeah, this is so... We also really struggled in the back row. I think that was the one we agonised over the most because we think Murray's definitely going to play, and then we could have put any one of
himself, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
because he's not. To me, I go. There's no way he's a
He's not.
He's
an edge.
A comfortable edge. Like he's an uncomfortable edge. So I don't. He's your vice captain, so that he's probably going to play 11 or 12. But I'm not sure it's his preferred position.
No.
Yeah, if you think of what his best skill is, it's being able to take the ball to the line, which he's never going to do.
Yeah, that's right.
And as a middle, no one gets a quicker play the ball. He's low, he's got quick feet, he gets between defenders, he generates ruck speed. Like an edge set skill set is completely different. You're talking being dynamic, powerful, hole running, you know, getting up and down, splitting tackles. Like that's not essentially the job that he does. Like he does a job there, especially defensively, but in attack, he's not what I want from my back row. That's easier. His skill set is much better for a middle.
So who'd you go with, boys? You went with Murray and...
We went Murray and then we've gone for Liam Martin, but I have to say we weren't enormously confident in it. We thought it could as easily be Nanai, it could as easily be Crichton, and we wouldn't that was, we actually had, we counted all of our numbers out, we've only got 23 in this, because we'd left
Nana is my gut over someone like a Liam Martin.
Yeah, I'd pick Crichton, Angus Crichton and Jeremiah Nanai for the exact reasons said before. Pure edge skills, footwork, dynamic, pole running, you know, ability to break tackle, ability to offload, like all the stuff you want from your back row of your half. It's your best mate. It's your number one thing that you lean on. I want those two.
Oh, so we're saying if we wouldn't pick Murray in the back row.
I wouldn't pick
I wasn't picking Murray there, I'd play Liam Martin. Just again, someone safe there for Cleary, if you're going to play Cleary.
It's funny how 1-7 almost picks themselves, but then after that, you can throw anyone into the mix and they probably do a similar sort of job. It's going to be an interesting game of chess for Mel.
There's also, there's bits of it where, like, when we talk about the spine, right, he's clearly gone, we like the Queenslandness of it all. He's seen players like Hunt and Munster and whatever and gone, I think he actually mentioned that in the press conference today about how he liked the Queensland spine and that's why he was going to play DCE. And I thought, the whole point of Origin is that you're meant to play them off against each other. Then you pick the best team afterwards, which he complained about all the way through Origin, that it wasn't a trial anymore. But from that, I just thought he's kind of replicated them. To me, one of the problems that New South Wales had was that they had, you played Jake Dobrovic and Crichton, who are kind of, I would say their best skill is defensively, especially Dobrovic as kind of, he's a specialist defender. Crichton, if you look up his stats, that's what he does. He makes a million tackles and doesn't really do anything wrong. He actually, as the season has gone on, I think he's got better on the other side of the ball, but he was never... I think come Origin time, it wouldn't have been what I've said was his best skill. Mm. And then you look at what you were saying there, Lewis, where you've got someone like Nanai who's kind of, he's actually got better defensively as well, but it was mostly attacking player.
Played no football because of COVID. He's 19 years old. He's essentially learning how to defend in first grade. Like, technically, he's fine. It's more, you know, system and figuring out how to defend. It's not technique. It's scary to think where he's at as a 19-year-old.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised. There's a couple. I'm surprised they didn't basically let him play for Samoa. If they must think they're going to use him now because there's a logic. I think with Sualiti, they were a little bit like that, where they thought, you know what, mate, go and play for Samoa this time and come back in 2 years, 3 years, and you'll be in this team.
To that point we said before, we don't have many genuine edges. Like, if you force Murray in there, or you've got Martin, who I still think Martin does a really good job as a middle because he's just a bulldog. He's an absolute savage, so he kind of covers those roles. But our two most genuine edges, Angus and Martin, like, really, if you're looking for what you want to get out of his half, like, we've got a lot of good middles, we've got a lot of mobile guys there because we've lost a lot of those big guys that have gone to play for Tonga and Samoa. But yeah, we're certainly probably a little bit short in that area, which is why I'm surprised someone like Hudson Young wasn't an inclusion, because he's another guy who can play lock if you need him to play like middle. But for edge options, I thought we would have at least taken one more.
Yeah, I thought Nanai was close to the best back row in the comp.
Mm. Well, I think he did. It was in the Daly M's. I think was he not in the team of the year? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, Nanai was one of the back rows, yeah.
Watching that coverage, I struggled to follow it.
I got the option to go to it and politely decline. I thought, no, there'll be no good work done. As soon as if there's a free bar, there'll be no work done. And there's not going to get any big stories that you can ever publish out of. You might get a couple of interesting stories to tell people in the pub where I saw X do that, but it's not going to get published. And then the last we've got, obviously, so the bench, I think we'll all have Ben Hunt as a 14, will we?
I think I'll start with Hunt like they did in Origin. I think Harry will come off the bench.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Oh, we forgot Hookers, yeah.
I'll be playing Ben Hunt.
So you've got Hunt starting and Grant. So we had Grant with Hunt off the bench.
Yeah, and you just said it, Lewis. I realised that in Origin it went the other way around. Yeah. So that's entirely possible that'll be.
Mm. Yeah, just that skill set earlier on, he obviously doesn't bring as much impact, and he brings a good kick. So he might start off with him, kick from dummy half a few times, take a bit of gas out, and then I'll let Harry loose for the majority, I'd say, after that. Maybe like 30.
But it also depends on what your mindset is in that position. If that is to play dual nines, then I guess, you can put Harry on the bench. But if it's the cover 7, 6, but 9, then you put bench Hunt at 14. Yeah, it'll be interesting.
I think that's what you're saying there, Lewis. That might happen in the more important games. Like when it gets to New Zealand, they might do that. But I don't think they'll do it in most of the games. I think you're going to see
114
just for the utility value. off the bench. So in ours, we had, so we started with Tino and Gerbo. So we've got on the bench, we've got Cotter. Oh, sorry, we've got Carrigan and RCG as our middles.
Yeah, I've got, well, we've got, I know Murray and Carrigan. Again, smaller bench because we don't have that size, so we're going to rely a lot on leg speed. And I'd have Harry instead of Hunt, again, going more off what you said for the later games.
And then we
leaves one more.
Yeah, and we've thrown in, because we put in Tino twice, we have hastily hastily added a Ruben Cotter to our bench. Although, now I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, we didn't pick Crichton, so I'm thinking we're picking Crichton.
It's Crichton, there's Nanai that we haven't picked.
Yeah, we haven't picked Nanai either, right.
Yeah. Well, I've got both of them in, so my last spot, if I've got Murray, Carrigan and Harry Grant, probably would be torn between Cotter, but I think I'm going to need someone who, again, can play edge. So I'd probably have Liam Martin as my bench player who can play, you know, that back row or middle row. He can do either job.
What do I need? I need three, don't I?
Yeah, so you've got Harry, and then who else you got?
Hunt. No. I've got Hunt, and then I'd go Jake, Carrigan, Crichton.
Take Carrigan,
Crichton. I think is my three.
Is there
Cotter out? Yeah, it's tough.
No, I left Jake out, so.
If you're going with what my gut, I'd go Cotter over Jake. Bye-bye, Jake. But
I think you'll Jake. Pick Collins and Jake. I think it'd be very different to what we're talking about. Let's put it that way.
I think we're applying a far more logic to the situation than
that
might actually happen. I just love Jake because Jake will give you a lot of, I'm just happy to be here. Just love playing for Manly. Just love the beaches. Yeah. So that would leave you with, on our bench, so we've got an unused Lindsay Collins, I think the luckiest man in the world to get 6 weeks in England on holiday.
You're not wrong.
Mm. I don't know quite what he's done to get that, because he's not been very good and he's not played that much. And he's suspended.
He's always suspended, yeah.
Well, I'm worried about his concussions too. He comes back for a week or two, and it's either one or the other. Either gets suspended or he knocks himself out. So
maybe he's a good bloke.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking he's never come across as the guy you go, he's just a good tourist. Great for a tour.
He's just going to bring a vibe.
Yeah, maybe he's like the Jerome Luai who goes around with the boombox.
Yeah. He can pull his teeth out. That's a party trick, so he might be good fun. I don't know.
I'm trying to remember if he was on the in the Queensland sheds. Jai Arrow was very much that dude who was just like singing all the country songs and getting the beers out, and I thought, yeah, there's Jai Arrow, and he looks like a lovely chap to hang around with. So then we've got a DCE who's going to be carrying drinks, and we have Jack Whiten because we put Burton in, but I feel like Whiten will, he's like, you know, in The Simpsons when they have the Yakuza v Mafia fight, and it's the guy who's stood on his own, you think he's going to do something cool.
Yeah.
That could be Jack Whiten. He'll do something good at some point, but he's not in my team currently.
You know, when he does it, it's going to be good.
We've left Tuolagi out there as well, so it's just some more backup, I guess. But
He's the one I look at and go, oh, that's Dylan Edwards for me.
Yeah, well, that's me, but with Campbell Graham, two guys that cover centre winger, but I'm happier having him and Holmes play together. He comes through the grades more as a centre, so he can do those two jobs. So I look at Campbell Graham and think I would have rather take Nico or Dylan Edwards, similar deal again, more versatility in your squad. Or, you know, I look at Collins and what we said before, like we already know we're lacking size, but we've got plenty of good lock-type players with the way the game's going. I would have preferred to take someone like a Hudson Young that at least could have given us another genuine edge who can also play middle.
I get why he's been that way.
Yeah.
Because you've got Latrell there, who's the logical shift of line. He's also got Munster there.
Right. You can use Jack there if you really wanted to as a third option to play plenty of football. But it's one of those things, like I said, you can debate all day about certain positions that you carry.
So what's your boys' opinions on this squad overall? There's a lot of rookies here. Should they be the favourites, or, you know, are they kind of second or third on strength?
I don't think they should be $1.40.
No.
I'd have them probably, I think they should be favourites, but probably just over New Zealand. Like, I look at our squad and New Zealand squad, and I think they're very, very even.
The spine's very strong, and we've talked about on our pod how strong the Kiwi spine is and how it's probably the strongest in this tournament. But you look at this on paper and, you know, Teddy Munster, Cleary, and either Grant or Hunt, like, that's fucking strong. It's going to be hard to beat. But
I think $3, $2.50, $3, like a dollar. I looked at $1.40.
Yeah, wow. It's very short.
And $4.50 for New Zealand, I think, was $4.50 was New Zealand.
It's $4.50 New Zealand.
Or $4 or something like that.
That's great odds for New Zealand.
Mate, they started at 9, because we've been talking about it. I bet on it early. I really thought that a lot more guys would, you know, go to different countries than what they thought, which has obviously turned out to be the case. But I had another investment yesterday on New Zealand again. I think they were $4.80.
I like that you call it an investment. That's good. The other one for me, the interesting one, is normally you get, you know, whoever wins the grand final, you know, stacks the Aussie side. There's probably two or three Panthers, but the Samoans have a lot more Panthers than the Aussies, so that's going to be an interesting one as well.
The whole back line beside Sualee and the halfback, you know, they've got both wingers, both centres, and Drayne Lua, yeah.
I wondered at this... This is something with the Campbell Graham thing, right? And I'm going to... So this is my...
This is your theory?
I've described it as a conspiracy theory.
I love a conspiracy theory.
Let's get Joe Rogan. There's no backup, nothing to back it up. Could be nonsense. Well, it almost certainly is nonsense. So if you watch the PM13, I'm sure nobody who sat through that game all the way through to the end of it would have then been tedious enough to watch the press conference. But as somebody who's paid to watch it, I certainly did. Mal Meninga said... Somebody said, oh, Selwyn Cobbo, you played him in the centres for a bit. He went, well, we like a bit of versatility. And so he basically went on about how Cobbo was going to be a centre wing option, but then he's picked Campbell Graham. Now, on the same weekend, I guess it would have been that was the weekend before last, right? It's the weekend of the Panthers South semi-final. On the, I think it was a Tuesday of the week when South was still in the comp, I interviewed Campbell Graham, which was in our podcast and is now out of date, but we left it in because fun and we couldn't take it out, but he thought he was playing for Scotland, right? He was 100% playing for Scotland. No, he wasn't humouring me or something. He was definitely playing for Scotland. So I think
he had booked accommodation. He was like seeing family. Like,
yeah, he was all going to, oh, I'm really excited about all this sort of stuff.
Edinburgh and stuff for the training. Like, he was all in.
So I think that Selwyn Cobbo was not very good in that game in the centres, and Mal Meninga's gone, well, I need my centre winger. Who's the next cab off the rank?
I reckon, mate, just to further to your conspiracy theory point, I reckon Mal listens to our podcast and he's heard you interviewing Graham.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I said, hold on a second.
Oh, we haven't released it yet.
We're taking this bloke. No, we haven't. No,
we released it today.
We released it today, just before the squad got picked. Come on, mate.
So, yeah, I think he basically has gone, right, well, I want a centre winger and I needed, who's the next best? I suppose I better pick Campbell Graham.
Because, I suppose he definitely hasn't listened to our podcast because I got Campbell Graham at Pisner.
It makes no sense to me because, like, if you're going to pick, like, Selwyn Cobbo, I don't think he's ever played centre. He played fullback for it, but he wasn't very good at it. So he's pretty much as pure a winger as you can find. Then Campbell Graham was all right on the wing. Maybe he's better in the wing than the centre. He's been all right
in
the centre.
Like, when I was watching that game, when he moved Cobbo to centre, I thought it was a work rate thing. Like, I genuinely think Mal went, he doesn't have the work rate to be an OB in an international team. So if you can't play centre, then bye-bye.
Yeah.
And he obviously hasn't liked what he saw defensively out of him. Because to me, he just doesn't have the work rate when he plays on the wing or at fullback yet. I think he'll develop that as he plays more first grade.
But that was probably more the worry from them when early in the year, though, like the Broncos going off topic in that, they were talking $700,000 to be a future fullback. And you think, like, you can't even finish a game at fullback or you're struggling to do that job. Like, you need the minutes. You can't be walking in going, that's the sort of money I want when you realistically can't do that job yet. But,
yeah, it was bonkers. I mean, he's an interesting one. As someone who sits and looks at spreadsheets full of stats all day, like, he is on his day brilliant, but then other days he just does absolutely nothing. Like, I think there was some games towards the end of the season, he ran like 30 metres in one of them or something. It was ridiculously low.
I think they
need that consistency and reliability around, particularly your back five, but more so your wingers.
He's a kind of, he's a brand player, right? So he's the kind of guy you really want to bring along with you, but he's just not ready. And I think they saw that.
So it's also doubly annoying that he looks like Cobo was the second choice after Sualiti turned him down, because he would have been that undoubtedly in the squad.
That's true.
And then Campbell Graham is now the third squad, the third choice.
Same as Toto. When did Toto pull the pin?
Oh, really early. He was.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
That was just after Origin, I think.
Okay.
Were you guys bothered by all that? Because it's really bothered me, the amount of flack some of these players have copped, because we always whinge that the international game needs to be better. And then the moment guys start actually going to strengthen other nations for this a one-off event, everyone starts ripping them that they're not playing for Australia.
You're preaching to the choir. I mean, I'm all for, we believe that, you know, there's nothing wrong with, like, I'm a New South Welshman, I'm Australian, I've got Italian heritage, I get it. Mike, you're an Irish Englishman, you get it. You know, to see Toto lining up for Samoa and the other boys, we love that. Yeah, bring it on.
Can you tell guys that are born and raised in Australia and Western Sydney, and like you're saying, you know, Queensland, not play for the States, but once every 4 years when we want this tournament to have some relevance, you know, you're going to let Australia cherry pick everyone first and stack their team and destroy everybody. But we finally got guys going, all right, maybe if we go play for Tonga, Samoa, New Zealand, obviously, are very strong despite those guys have flipped. Potentially got four really good teams, plus England.
I was about to go.
I think Lewis is right. England is just in the top five. I think he's right. Like,
No.
I have a lot of confidence for you. I'm sorry, but.
No, neither do I. Neither do I.
I understand it. For years, and people have whinged about it. And at the first moment that Australia's missed a few, they're throwing the toys out of the cot for a one off event that needs to have this sort of impact, is generally it's just let's wait until the semi-final because everyone just gets ready.
Look, for me, and all our listeners know, for me, like, I want internationals to be the pinnacle, and for that to happen, Australia needs to take it seriously, and for that to happen, Australia needs to lose some games. So, mate, I'm all for weakening the squad, mate.
Well, that's literally the name of the podcast, Chasing Kangaroos, came from, that's what National Rugby League was, you know. So
exactly.
But yeah, and I think it's also like this weird sort of boomer old guy nostalgia that doesn't correspond to, like, I don't know, you're out in Penrith, right? How many people do you know who grew up who are from Penrith but are also Samoan? Like, I know I grew up in a community that was full of Irish people who happened to live in England.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know, we've never thought it was a weird thing. Like, our soccer team was made up of, back in 1990, I think we had like seven of our team were born in the UK and nobody gave two shits.
Yeah.
Mate, Indigenous and Pacifica out here, in particular in Western Sydney, is huge.
Yeah.
A big cultural mix. So, again, like, to go at somebody like Brian Toto and throw shade for wanting to represent where his parents or his grandparents are from, but he's born and raised in Western Sydney, I just don't get it. Like, for a 1-in-4-year event that we're talking about, to not back guys to go to other nations when we've got plenty to pick from, it just absolutely baffles me. And then to use the argument that it stains Origin, well, how?
Well, it's also like Origin, this is the thing that annoys me most about it, is that people, they've got to sort the eligibility out. And you're like, the eligibility could not be more simple.
It's pretty sorted.
If you're from New South Wales, you can play for New South Wales. If you're from Samoa, you can play for Samoa.
So that's why he plays for Blues. He just qualifies for a second tier nation. That's the other one. Everyone goes, make them first tier. I'm like, well, if you do that, you will destroy Origin.
The other thing
too. Or you'll destroy Tonga and Samoa.
You'll destroy internationally because everyone will go, all right, well, I can't play for them then. So
we've all picked Fox on one wing and either Holmes or Tuolagi on the other. I mean, that's pretty solid, man, or no. So, you know, let's share the love, I say.
Yeah, agree.
And even with the middles we've lost, like I said, it's a different looking forward pack. It'll be much more mobile and smaller and probably, you know, a different approach, whether you would have had Borlo and a couple of the other guys they probably would have liked to have had, but it's still a very, very good board back. So,
I mean, I always think of the 95. My first World Cup was 95 when Australia didn't have any Super League players and still won. So, like, but it was a closer tournament and probably a better tournament for it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right, so, we've kind of done that. Our next thing on the agenda was general thoughts about the Rugby World Cup, and that's kind of you kicked us off there, Lewis. So is there anything that particular, I know you watch a lot of Super League as well, so you love, maybe if you have any thoughts on those kind of guys or anything you're excited to see when you're getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Like I was, when last time we spoke, Rock and I was getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to watch Tonga games from New Zealand in German, their German commentary back in the day. Is there anything that you're looking forward to that you don't normally get to see?
Oh, I think England are under a lot of pressure. I think just the game over there in general. I'll be very interested to see how they go. because I did think that the standard of the Super League this year was quite down on what it has been in previous years. So, yeah, just how England handle home field and, you know, trying to perform. Because I really feel as though they need a good World Cup,
yeah.
And I'm just not sure whether they're going to have one. So that's the one for me.
We've said this before as well, but it comes down to that first game, and Mike and I have debated this endlessly. I reckon Samoa has got them. Mike reckons England will win that.
Well, it's got this in the last week. It's now pick 'em. $1.90 each.
$1.90
each. Yeah. That forward pack is, yeah, I think the only question I have on teams like Samoa and Tonga, which is the reason why I think neither of them could really win it for me, is just your spine options. Like, they're loaded ridiculously, back five, forward back benches, but both of those teams, I think it's more spine. But against England, if you're telling me right now that you're going to have Suoliti, May, Crichton, Tago, To'o, Luai, led around by the likes of Borlo, Papali'i, Sua, Tuolungi, and have like Hunter, really, Oregon, Luciello, please, I think Samoa will win that game.
And I think you're mostly right, Lewis, in terms of the spine discussion, but I just always remind myself that Tonga have beaten everyone without a traditional spine. So they've had no issues with Australia, New Zealand and Great Britain. Tell me, Mike, what are you...
I was about to say they beat a half-assed England, Great Britain team. They've not beaten England. they've not beaten Ireland, which is the most important thing. Let me hit you with two counter-arguments. We've had James Graham on this podcast, who he was very big on the home field advantage, and playing in the UK is a different experience to playing in Australia.
True.
And I think they've sold something like 40,000 tickets for the first game, and that's not including obviously that we've got another 2 weeks for them to really hype it. So that's, I think, come that atmosphere is going to be quite unlike anything that any Australian player. I know I spoke when we had Jerome Luai on the podcast, he was quite sort of taken aback by this sort of thing. So I think that mood could change a lot. And that James Graham was very intent that was something that really mattered, that he fed off as a player. The other thing, which is what Trent Robinson said on the podcast about the French team, is that France had never had players who were decision makers every week. And I think if you put in those spine players from, as we saw with the Fiji in the Pacific tests, when they didn't have very regular halves, Tonga, for example, will have that. Samoa will be slightly better, I think, because of Luai. England have got guys who play that every single week. You've got Jack Walesby, who's going to play. It would have been a lot better before Johnny Lomax was injured and before Alex Wansley was injured, because I think both of those would be easily NRL quality. Walesby, I think, he's the best player in the UK, certainly best young player. So I think he's a sort of an X factor for England, because nobody's going to have played against him before, essentially.
Yeah.
Do you think, though, this is my big gripe, like with a lot of their outside backs that have come over, you think they're going to have enough out of the backfield in playing against these guys that play more NRL football, where it's bigger on set starts and set finishes and play 1-2?
I think they're going to have Dom Young. I think they're going to pick Young. So, obviously, he does. I think he's been massively improved this year on last year. Obviously, I wouldn't put him in the top echelon of NRL wingers, but in terms of that style of football, that's why he's been picked. I think they have Farmworth, obviously. I think I rate him really highly. Or maybe I'm biased watching him, but I do rate him pretty highly. You can have Makinson, who I think he's the best at that in the Super League. So I'm not too worried. And then you're going to get, I think they'll play Callum Watkins, who...
That's interesting, isn't it? Because he's been playing...
He's been playing back row, yeah. And he's also robbed Jamaica of their best player. As has done. But like, I think this is the thing that people underestimate about England, is that there's a big difference between the 17 blokes who play for England and the Super League, because almost all the 17 blokes will either have played NRL or could have played NRL. So if you look at, or in Wellesby's case, will play it, I think. So if you look at people like Bateman or Williams, or like, they're not going to be surprised by this in a way that other teams in the past were. I think that's going to be a big issue. So when you look at that Samoa team, my theory is, just because the Super League's worse, it doesn't mean the best 17 players in it will be worse. I'm worried they haven't picked a Ryan Sutton, because I think he would have been real helpful in that regard. But
it's just their depth as well. They've got nothing on the Australian side in the Kiwi.
Yeah, well, this is it. The 17 is great, and everybody else is, there's some real you Chris Hills and that, who shouldn't be anywhere near that team. But
I think a lot of it would depend on the style of game that Samoa actually play.
Yeah.
like, are they going to play to their strength, or are they going to turn up and try and play, you know, a Penrith style or a half-centred style of footy? I'd sort of just lean on that power game. Yeah. And
offloads.
Yeah, if they play like Parramatta, they'll do well, and I think if they try and play like Penrith, you'll find out why Jerome Luai should not be playing for New South Wales, because he's not.
I think Samoa's a little more settled in their spine than what Tonga will be, because I look at Samoa and go, well, Luai's an obvious one. They'll go with Milford probably at 7. New Brown, I thought for a long time, should have been in the NRL. He had the injury and he was in England for a bit. He'll play 9. And then they've got backup options sort of in Tyrone May, who can play halves or 9, or, you know. But I look at Tonga and I'm like, well,
I think they're actually going to pick Danny Levi. I think he's going to be their 9, because he's been one of the best knockers in Super League. So that's my... In fact, Drew Jalgashire, who's been on this from Liverpool League back home, he was very intent that Levi thinks he's playing 9 for Samoa. And I think that's... They'll carry New Brown as a 9-13 on the bench, because I think he's only... When he's only good for 20 minutes, and then tends to look quite tired. Yeah, I think
they're going to use dual 9s, which is what I'm saying. Like, whether they take May or Levi, they're going to need one of those guys. May probably covers more positions for you, but... I look at Tonga, and even in that mid-year test, like, who they play at fullback, who plays at 7, like, are they going to rely again on Tessie New, who's rocks or diamonds, or a cooler who's still sort of learning? And, you know, they played Stags, which just baffles me when
he's injured, like, now as well. He's not playing, so as of today, he's dropped out of the squad. But so we can move on there, because one of the things that I know you guys do a lot of stuff in the New South Wales Cup, so there's players aplenty that we wanted to throw at you that you might have seen. Grab bag of New South Wales Cup players, and you don't know who they are in advance, but we can start with who I think won the man of the match in the State Cup Grand Final, which is Sonny Luke. Spoke to him yesterday, very small man, but unbelievable attacker.
Yeah, the level of deception and intelligence, game awareness is NRL level. The reason he hasn't got there sooner is because of what he's said, size, purely size. I know Penrith let him go when, you know, I had him for 2 years at 20s, and he was, by far and away our best 9. But I know the concerns were around his size. So I think they're starting to get over that, and they're starting to realise that he offsets his size with his intelligence and his ability to, just be deceiving out of 9. He's very fast.
Yeah, good.
He's still not the end product, and he's got the ability to play 7 as well. Like, he's played in the halves a lot. It's scary to think that, you know, he was playing Ron Massey Cup last year. But we were trying to sign him at Mounties, and Penrith offered him a pre-season. So that was sort of the reason he stayed, and he ended up, playing, you know, well, more than a handful of first grade games for by far the best team in the comp. So, I think he'll be very good.
And his teammate, who I'm not sure how much you will have come across him, but they've picked Isaiah Katoa, who we've spoke about a lot because of he's basically Jerome Luai 2.0, because Luai went to the last World Cup having never played in NRL. Katoa will be the only player in Tonga's squad not to have played NRL, but every time I've seen him in cup or flag, he's been pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, he sort of got the legs cut out from under him, didn't he, by signing, and then Penrith sort of froze him. But
I think he got injured as well. I think he broke his arm. He hurt his arm, I think.
He was coaching the flag at Penrith, and I know he was certainly happy when
they let him play the finals.
He got Katoa back at the end of the year because they were scratching a little bit. They actually struggled to make the 5 and got into the 5 and looked, well, they didn't look unbeatable, but they certainly looked a very different side with him in there.
He's looked, he played the last game of the season in the New South Wales Cup when they moved a lot of players up to play in the NRL, and he was the best player in the field. Against, like, it wasn't, the Bears were, what, did they come 4th or something? Like, they weren't rubbish. Like, and he was by far the best player on the field for me, so.
Yeah.
And then the third one from the Panthers is Taruva, who I think people will have seen a little bit playing the NRL in his brief appearances, and then the mid-season test, but he's just such an exciting player.
Unfortunately, we've seen a lot of him through Matt's ball and then now up. He's not the end product. He's certainly not the end product, but he's a damaging ball runner, very good feet. And fast, real fast. So it's going to be scary to see what he's going to be in 2 to 3 years' time.
You want to talk about, again, different builds, obviously, but we talked about Cobbo before, and you want that work and you want that energy and you want that motor, whether it's on a wing or playing fullback. Different size, different sort of player, but no fear for what he is. And you don't have to question work rate. The bloke never gets tired. He's an absolute energizer, buddy.
And we know, as was mentioned by Jerome Luai, he's actually overtaken now. Luai is no longer the chief energy officer because Taruva is so like on the ceiling the whole time.
Yeah.
I've never actually. I wasn't there when he was in Harold Matthews, so I actually missed him in my time at Penrith. But from everyone that I know there, they rave about him, and there's a lot of that as well. Like, he's just good energy, and he's had some really tough things going on in his life in the last, 12 to 18 months. He lost his mum, and he's had a lot of hardship, and he's playing good footy, so all power to him.
And then, so there'll be a couple of others as well. So one of the things that we found most interesting going through all the sort of tier two nations is that you'll get a team like Italy, for example, who've got a pretty good core of New South Wales Cup and even Ron Massey Cup guys. This guy's, I know, Ethan Natoli's playing at Glebe. I've seen him play for Glebe a couple of times. Played up at Newtown as well. And then they've got guys in the English second tier, domestic comps, and you've no idea how good they are comparatively to anybody else. And I wonder, you'll have played against Newtown, so you'll have come up against Kalache and Chavel Tasapane.
Kane Kalache,
he was with us.
He was at Mounties until
mid-year,
just before the transfer window ended. And God love Canterbury, they told him that he wasn't in their plans for next year and granted him a release. So 2 weeks later, he was playing against us for Newtown. really, really, really good player. Beautiful human. He's had two really serious lower leg injuries, a knee and an ankle. So last year, he didn't play a game for us last year, and essentially we just rehabbed him. And then started off this year, he was probably our best forward when he left. He was the form prop at our club, and he went over to Newtown and had a good end of the season. I was playing him in the middle. They moved him to the back row. So he's versatile, but he'll do a job, and he could, in my opinion, comfortably, play first grade. I'm not sure whether he's a week-to-week first grader, but he certainly has the ability to play first grade.
And you'll have come across as well, we briefly touched on the Cook Islands last week, and you'll come across Kale Iro as well, who's just looked outstanding at New South Wales
Cup. My first game in New South Wales Cup was against Newtown, and I can remember previewing him early in the week, and I was like, who is this bloke? We actually, that day it was wet, and it actually helped us sort of nullify him a little bit because it meant he had to run fairly straight, and it was a lot easier for us to sort of handle him coming out of the backfield. But he's probably the best yardage carry in New South Wales Cup, and you probably put Taruva beside him. He's that level, and he's got so much upside. It's scary to think how good he's going to be as well. So it'd be good to see him go around. It'd be awesome.
And when you're doing your video preview of the Newtown Jets and you come across the galloping Greek Billy Magoulias, how on earth do you plan for that? Kicking on the second tackle, offloads everywhere, could be anything.
It's just take time away from him, please.
Yeah.
He is bonkers.
He's a good player, man.
Yeah.
He's a good player, especially at cup level. He's very, very good in that grade.
He's one of those guys, I think, it's just unfortunate. It's not skill, but it's just, what is he? In grade, he's probably not big enough or mobile enough for a 13 position. You obviously look at him, he's not your prototypical body that you want to be putting at a six or defending on an edge. He certainly doesn't lack ability, that's for sure.
I think the game before we played him the second time, he threw a 30-metre cutout left to right and hit a winger who scored. And I showed it in preview, and the boys just like, what the hell?
what do you want me to do about that?
Looks like an Oztag player, but he plays very, very good.
I
look forward to a spine of him, Ilias and Mamazelos is going to be, they might, again, they're going to play against Tony Gigo as well, and it's going to be the Magoulias Gigo game. Will be box office. It could be knock-ons, it could be kicks on. There'll be about 30 chip and chases in that game. I'd hate to have to coach it where you just stop doing this.
I'd love to coach it. Go. Do your thing.
To be fair, I know a few people have been over for some different nations, and I'm not saying they don't go over to their compete, but they certainly have a good time, some of the second tier teams. So I don't know if there's a whole lot of coaching going on. I think it's pretty free wheel. So let it ride, I say.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think there'll be... the Greeks and the Italians, and they could be under here for a good time, not for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Trained. And we spoke to the island coach, and he was like very, no, we're going to go and cause an upset here. And that, shall we say, that was not the impression that we might have got out of the Greeks. Yeah.
Well, I won't name names, but a few ex-teammates went over and enjoyed playing for some second-tier nations. And when I asked that question, how serious was it? They're like, we seriously planned a lot of parties. I'm like, okay. We won some games. One of them ended up in a finals game they weren't planning on, and then obviously got dusted. But yeah, they certainly said it was a great experience, in particular, obviously, if you're going on tour over there. It's basically like a Kentucky for grown men.
But I think those, McGillis would be a good example of this, where there is a lot of players who, in an international setup, will be like, Billy McGillis, senior player, doesn't seem like it will come to be the most readily expected thing, but like, he's going to have to go and be like, they're going to chuck him the ball. If you're Greeks, you're going, Lachlan, you stand there and you just get Billy where he needs to be, and let's hope for the best.
Yeah, definitely.
But I'm trying to think of other guys that you have come across. Well, you have got, you look at the Rennie boys at Newtown as well, and then there's a kid, have you come across Khaled Rajab? From the Bulldogs?
I coached him.
We had him.
Oh,
I had him.
One of my favourites.
So he turned up like...
Looking about 40.
And because his last name is... he said, oh, you know, is it Khaled? Khaled, he goes, oh, just call me DJ. I said, okay. DJ Khaled. he wasn't late, but I was like, this guy's pretty casual. And he actually was 5-10 minutes late out into the field, so I tore his head off before he even got into a drill. But I think he played two games for us. First game, he was okay, and the second game, he got man of the match and killed it, and the Jersey flag coach said, no, we'll have him back, thanks. So that was the last we saw of him. But, yeah, very, very talented. He was only 18 last year when he was playing for us, and then this year he played, almost a full season in Cup, so... he's tough. Like, anytime I've sort of seen him play against man, he's tough. He gets his body in front, and he's very, very skillful. Like, he's got the ability to run and kick and pass. So, yeah, he's an exciting player.
I think we're going to see him. I mean, I hope he gets on the field, because I've seen him play, and you look at him and you go, well, firstly, when he was playing 20s, he looked about 45 from a distance, because he's got a big beard and a ponytail.
Yeah.
And he looks tiny. He looks absolutely tiny.
The Rennie boys were our Mounties boys as well. Like, they only went to Newtown this year. So prior to that, they'd been at Mounties for I don't know how long, but they were certainly rusted into the woodwork there. So, it'll be good to see them go well as well.
And I'm just thinking the last one is that you'll have faced Josh Cook as well. He was at the Bulldogs, the Nines. He's going to play. I think there's him and a guy called Henry O'Kane are going to play for Ireland. I was very disappointed Declan Casey didn't. He apparently is eligible. But
Henry O'Kane from West Tigers?
Yeah, he's playing for Ireland.
He's a very good player, yeah.
I'd never seen him play. I think he was he's only just come up to Cup from Flegg, and they never played the Flegg before the Tigers games.
I had him in the West Tigers Pathways Cubs program there for a couple of years, and he was playing at Balmain. Yeah, he's... good player. I think he did a first grade preseason this year with Brandon Turmuth and Justin Matamua were a few of the younger guys who they got wraps on. So, yeah, he's a good player. Good player. Leg speed, like rangy, wiry, good length about him, good offload. So, he'll be handy.
Mate, well, I think I could spend the next 2 hours throwing New South Wales Cup names at you, because this is very much my happy place. It's international football in lower grades.
Yeah.
Anyway, who cares about that? But yeah, lads, thanks so much for your time, and let's. I hope that you enjoy the World Cup, because I think I'm going over a week on. I think by the day that this comes out, I'll be listening to it in the airport. So. Thanks for coming on to the podcast, and we'll work out
time. Thanks for having us, boys.
Pleasure. Thanks for chasing kangaroos with us, boys.
Oh, yeah, this is the thing. So he has to... I start the podcast...
I try not to chase him.
So I said that to my dog when he did chase kangaroos.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.